You are good. Lord, teach us to abide in you, Lord, to dwell in your safety. Hallelujah. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Elkhart Life Church. So good to have you here. You all look beautiful. My name is Michael Cummins. I'm on the ministry team here. It's my honor, my privilege to bring you the Bible study this morning. But before you sit down, take a moment, greet your neighbor, tell them hi, and tell them, if you could be any animal for one day, what animal would you be? A fish. Awesome. Don't forget to tell them what you would be, too. So now I have to ask the question, which most of you are thinking. Well, there's two of them, actually. One, Stephanie, did you pick a sheep? No, no way, huh? There's no way you'd be a sheep for a day. You know too much, right? But the question I think everyone's thinking is, Pastor? Pastor Johnson, what animal would you be?
I don't know.
He doesn't know, of course. An eagle, all right. Soar high above everything, see everything, got the speed, the talons, right? Carnivore. So I wondered, were you drawn to a strong animal like a lion or a bear? Were you drawn to a clever animal? I think of a monkey as a clever animal, I don't know. In my head, they're always sneaky and clever and getting whatever they want. A flying animal? How many people picked a flying animal? A couple flying people, is it the freedom aspect? Is it something about being above everything? Light as a bird. There was a, Sister Charlotte said a fish. I was wondering if anyone would pick like a dolphin or a whale, you know, explore the deep, explore what you don't normally see. What would my wife choose for me to be, or what would she choose as hers? I don't know. I don't know. And she's not here to defend herself, so I'm saying nothing. But biblically speaking, there's a lot of metaphors when it's relating to the children of Israel or to the believers in Christ. And a lot of times, more times than not, they liken us, the believers, or the children of Israel, as a very specific animal. Very specific animal. Stephanie, it's a sheep. You a sheep. You a sheep, and you a sheep. And yes, that is a pun. You a sheep. All right, we'll move on quickly. Don't worry. Join me in prayer here before we get into the lesson. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for your protection, Lord. Thank you for all that you bring us. Lord, anoint my lips to bring the word to you. Help me to present in a way that's helpful and help all of us to grow a little closer to you today, Lord, to get a little more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. So shepherding is a very old occupation. The source I was reading said it's at least 5,000 years old. They have evidence of shepherding, that's keeping sheep in some capacity. And there's a lot of reasons that you would keep sheep. Probably the major one is for wool, especially the farther back. A big part would be the wool, right? You make a lot of clothes, even synthetic clothes that we use now, still they'll mix wool into the blends because of the strength, and there's a lot of properties with wool. Of course, you can eat a sheep. The 4-H fair is next week. Highly recommend you get a lamb chop burger. They got a whole pavilion for that. So make sure if you go to the fair, get yourself some lamb. And of course, you can get, probably less common in America, but you can get milk from sheep, which you can drink, or you can make cheese, so you can have a sheep milk cheese. I don't think I've ever actually had that. And then in the Old Testament, they were often used for sacrifices, so there was a religious connotation to why you'd have sheep. It was a hard occupation. Would you agree, Stephanie? I'm going to keep using you this whole time. So would you say keeping sheep is easy? It's easy because she has a fence. That's a good point, and I'm sure that'll come back around. If you're a shepherd, though, that led sheep around pasture to pasture, you were often exposed to the elements. So when it's raining, you're getting rained on. When it's storming, you're in the midst of it. When there's snow on the ground, if there was snow where they're shepherding, you're walking through snow. If the ground's muddy, you're tronching through mud. Whatever it is, it could be a physically demanding job. And sheep constantly, they need to be moved from pen to pen, in her case, or from field to field so they don't eat all their grass and it's gone. They have to keep moving. Unless you're bringing feed in, which is a whole nother process, more labor, you have to take them from field to field so that there is always fresh grass. And then you rotate back around and they kind of take care of the field that they left behind. You give it a couple weeks and then there'll be, you know, new fresh grass growing. And water, of course. Without water, the sheep are going to die. So whether you would have to take it to a stream, you would have to draw from a well and pour it into troughs, it was labor intensive. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel were likened unto sheep, and the shepherds were the leaders of Israel. And it's interesting because a lot of our major Old Testament characters were shepherds at some point in their life. Abraham was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. The 12 tribes kept sheep. Moses was a shepherd. King David was a shepherd. All these major figures that went on to become leaders were shepherds at some point in their life. And I think that's interesting, but I also don't think it's a coincidence, because there's a lot that you learn from being a shepherd. You learn hard work. You learn about sacrifice. And you learn about foresight. You always got to be planning. Where am I taking these sheep? Is there going to be water there? Is there going to be food there? Are they going to be cared for? You know, and shepherds, they often carried a weapon. I know you think of like Bo Peep with their staff. So they would have a staff, but often they would, if they didn't have a sword, which wasn't always available, they would have a rod, whether it be a stick, you know, yay big, a billy club, if you will, something that they could hit an animal with. Not the sheep, but hit an attacking animal or a person, something to defend the sheep, but also then a staff to herd and kind of tap them in the right direction as needed. So in chapter 4 of Ezekiel, the prophet, he's told by God to speak against, to prophesy against the leaders, the shepherds of Israel. And he says, "Son of man," in 34:2, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock?" And it goes on to say, "Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool, and you kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock." It was a prophecy against the leaders that God was displeased. They were about themselves. They were not leading the children of Israel. It was about their gain, not the sheep's welfare. It was what could they extract from the sheep without caring for them? What possessions could they take from the people of Israel? Where a shepherd should desire to make sure his flock is healthy and cared for and maintained. And so Ezekiel goes forward in verse 4, and it says, "The diseased you have not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken, nor have you brought again that which was driven away, and neither have you sought the lost. But with force and with cruelty, you have ruled them." This is what the prophet's saying to the leaders of Israel. They had failed to be a shepherd of the people. They put themselves first. They didn't care for the weak. They didn't care for the disease because the weak, they didn't see value there. They didn't see anything they could extract, so they just left them. They didn't seek for the children of Israel that had gone astray, maybe got overridden by a neighboring enemy. They just didn't care as long as it didn't stop their way of living. It had to be disheartening for God to see his chosen people going through this. And we see a little more of God's perspective as you read just the next two verses in Ezekiel. It says, and they were, talking about the flock, the sheep of Israel, it says, and they were scattered because there was no real shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep, now it's personal, right? God's saying, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek for them. The leaders had utterly failed God in their task that was given them. What a sad state of affairs. What a sad place to say that this is the condition we find Israel in. It is not the will of God for people to be scattered, for his people to be scattered and uncared for, to be broken and weak. That is not the will of God. A good shepherd would never allow that to happen, or at least would make every effort to prevent it. At night, when if you were in the field, you would create what you would call a fold. A lot of times they would already be created. It could be a bramble of sticks and bushes that are stacked up in a circle. Or if you were lucky and there was a natural cave, you could herd your animals at night into the cave because it would form a natural single point of entry and everyone was contained. You knew where your sheep were. And that's called a sheepfold. And behind me, you see one that is set up in a field. A sheepfold, you can think of it, it doesn't have to be stone. And this is a stone one in the picture. But the sheep would be herded into there at night because then the shepherd would know where all of them were, right? There was no question where they were. And there was no question where the enemy was going to come from. It was going to come from the door. And it interesting to note, it has one door. There is only one way into the fold. There's only one way in and one way out. And that one way is where the shepherd would lay down at night. Because if someone was going to come into the fold, it was going to come through the shepherd. If a sheep was going to try to leave the fold, it had to go through the shepherd. He had to know what was going on at all times. Even when he slept, I'm sure when he was out in the field where there could be wolves or whatever, that he probably didn't sleep very well. Always constantly worried about the flock. So the shepherd would literally lay down his life in the breach for his sheep. If you entered into a city or a town with your flock, maybe you had to buy provisions or for whatever reason visit family, oftentimes a city would have these similar sheepfolds, but maybe multiple ones. And you could pay someone to stand in that breach in the doorway, and they'd guard the door so you could go into town. You'd herd your flock in, and they would keep them secure so you could go by. But once again, there was only one way in and one way out. And a lot of times, these sheepfolds, they would have 4 to 5 foot high walls if you're in a city or something like this that had the time to be built. 4 to 5 feet high walls. And on top, they would put thorns or stones that were facing up or something to prevent people from climbing over. You know, Jesus, as he grew up, he was well aware of shepherding, and he knew about these things. He knew about sheepfolds and what they look like. And so he says in John 10, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth not by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbeth up another way, he is the same as a thief and a robber. You see, if you weren't entering through the door, you didn't belong. If you were seen climbing over the wall, you were a thief or you were a robber. You say, well, what's the difference between a thief and a robber? And the simplest I can say is a thief steals secretly. Maybe they sneak in at night, they pickpocket, they don't want confrontation, they want to be in and out, where a robber may use more brute force. So if you're sneaking in to steal a sheep, there's an interesting thing. The sheep don't know you, so they're not going to just stand there and look at you while you pick them up. They're going to move around, maybe start bleeding, and the hope is that the shepherd will recognize the voice of his sheep and say, hey, something's wrong, and go check it out. And again, a robber, if he's coming in to strong arm and get some sheep, he still has to go through the shepherd. He still has to now fight somebody that has a club or somebody that's willing to lay his life down for everything that's behind him. If you were sly enough to climb the wall, you still have to lift a 200-pound sheep, Stephanie? Ryan, roughly a 200-pound sheep over a 4 to 5 foot wall that's got stuff on top that's going to prick, cut, stab you. So it's not an easy task. There's protection in the sheepfold. There's safety for the sheep in the sheepfold. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but the word pastor has its connotation in shepherding. It basically is calling a pastor and shepherd an equal term. And it was the pastor's job, the shepherd's job, to protect the flock. That is his only goal, and he maintains that doorway in and out. Because robbers will come, and thieves will come, and they're going to try and steal people's salvation. That's the goal. They come to steal, kill, and destroy, right? But John, if you keep reading John 10:2, it says, "But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." Your shepherd always comes in the door. He doesn't climb over the fence because he's not a thief and he's not a robber. It's obvious that when he comes in, his sheep will know him. They will hear his voice, as it says. And it also says that the shepherd will know his sheep. So if he walks into the fold, the sheep aren't going to scatter and run away. They know who he is. But if someone else comes in, they don't know that voice. They don't know that person. They'll push to the sides. They'll run around. They'll bleat a little bit. They'll cry out, "Something's not right. This isn't the voice that I'm used to hearing." Are there other voices that you're hearing? And what's your reaction to that? Are you hearing the voice of the shepherd when he calls you by name? Because he knows who you are, and you should know your shepherd. But are you listening to another voice that's calling to you? If you hear another voice, if you hear something else, I hope you're not running towards that. Because you should be afraid of an unknown voice, of an unknown intruder, something that's going into your life. The voices that whisper, "You know, holiness isn't that important." Nobody is perfect, so don't worry about that little sin in your life. Nobody's perfect. Church doesn't matter that much. I mean, yeah, you should show up for Easter and Christmas, but, I mean, come on. You don't need to be a part of a flock. I mean, part of a church. Those are the other voices. Those should scare you. Those should make you flee to the corners. Those should make you go to the shepherd, where the voice is that you know. And Paul warns pastors. In Acts 20 and 28, he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Wolves don't come in to play with the sheep. They don't come in to pet them, see how soft the wool is. "Oh, this is a nice one." Wolves come in to destroy, to devour. So he's saying, saints, don't be deceived. This will occur. Things will come after you. But a good shepherd is constantly on the lookout for those kind of things, right? They're constantly protecting the sheep. Matthew 7:15 says, along the same line, "Beware of false prophets, which come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" What he's saying is, if there's people that may even be within the fold, within the church, that's saying things that aren't quite right, he says, you will know them by the fruit of their life. And if you think of the fruit of the Spirit, I mean, you got, you know, love, peace, joy, long-suffering. That's good fruit. That's spiritual fruit. That's what the fruit Christians produce. But he's saying in this verse, do men gather grapes of thorns? If you bring in grapes, there's no thorns. Last I remember, grapevines don't have thorns. So if people are producing things in their life, if their fruit is thorns and brambles, something's not right. If all they're producing is hate and bitterness and backstabbing and name-calling, whatever it is, that's not fruit that God desires. And he says, that's how you will know the wolves among you, those that are there to devour, not to produce. So with that same question, what are you producing, right? If you're in the flock, you're producing something. Even sheep, they produced wool, right? They had a benefit. The shepherd didn't just keep them to keep them because he liked them, which is a good reason to, I'm sure your pastor likes all of you. But he's pushing you towards something greater. He wants something better for you because at the end of the day, you aren't just his sheep. You're the sheep of God. You're the flock of God. You're part of the bigger picture. Now, I think the next verse is the best part of this whole lesson. I'll see what you think. Because we talked about shepherding and pastoring, and in the very next verse in John 10, 11, it simply says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus. I am the good shepherd. Everything we just talked about, everything a shepherd's supposed to be, that's what Jesus is. I am the good shepherd. And a good shepherd, it goes on to say, layeth down his life for the sheep. What a prophetic statement as well, right? Because he literally laid his life down on the cross for you. That's what a good shepherd will do, and that's what your good shepherd has done. Amen. Sin, as grievous wolves, as we read about wolves will come in, sin will pursue you like a wolf. It pursues each of us. If it can, it'll get to us. And because the Bible says that the devil seeks out. It seeks out whom he can devour, whom he can get at. So who does he go after first? What do wolves go after? If there's a flock of sheep and there's no shepherd around, who are they going after? They always go after the easiest target. They go after the weak. They go after the young that can't run as fast. They don't quite know how to defend themselves at all. I hope you're praying for your youth, for the spiritually young who are facing wolves every day. Every day they're facing that. Who do you think they're going after? That's the next generation of the flock. That's who the wolves are targeting. And it targets the weak, the spiritually weak, those that don't have a relationship with God, that aren't praying, that aren't getting in the Word a little bit, that don't know the shepherd. Take courage and stand strong, though, because we have a good shepherd. And even if you feel weak, even if you're young in Christ or young in age, you still have a good shepherd that's going to watch out for you. He's going to watch a little stronger for the young and the weak. His eye's going to be a little more on them because he knows they're more vulnerable. And that's okay. It's part of that cycle of life, right? We all should be growing in Christ more and more and getting stronger. Matthew 18, 12 says, how think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth not he leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you that he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 that went astray. The shepherd, the good shepherd, will constantly seek out that which was lost because it was his and it was in his charge. And he doesn't let it go without a fight. He doesn't just write off because someone walks out the back door. And I know we're talking about the good shepherd, which is Jesus, but a good pastor is the same way. And I've seen that myself. And I don't know if you always see it, but the pastor is constantly seeking that which appears to be lost, seeking that which may have been scattered outside the fold, something that's got left behind. And that's what a good pastor does. And that's what the good shepherd does, is he's always looking for you. He's always pursuing you when you're not where you're supposed to be. Perhaps you're just outside of the sheepfold, just outside of that brick wall. Maybe you saw a good patch of grass that you wanted to try out. And you're just slightly out of the way. Or perhaps you've been hurt. People get hurt in church because people are people. We've got emotions. We easily offend people sometimes, or we're easily offended ourselves. And sometimes it leaves you a little slower than the rest of the flock. You linger behind a little bit. You get a little separated. Or maybe you're physically hurt, you know, and you're literally limping along. Maybe bills are mounting. Maybe it's that pressure. It's the wolves of life that continue to nip at your heels. Because they're always out there. They're always looking for a way to get at the sheep. Whatever way they can get in. Maybe it's addiction that growls in the night at you. Or maybe it's just a sin that you know and it makes you feel like you don't belong in the flock. Maybe you are that one lost sheep. Maybe you feel like that one lost sheep. But the good shepherd is always looking for you. He's always reaching for you. Just because you don't feel like, or maybe you know you're not where you belong, know that the shepherd is out there searching the hills, searching the mountaintops, looking for you. Because he knows you. A good shepherd knows his sheep. He knows their name. He looks for you personally, and he's calling to you. He's walking those fields just calling out your name. Where are you? Where's my sheep? Where is it gone? I want that sheep back in safety in the protection of the flock. John 10:14 says again, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. He knows each and every one of you by name, and he'll call to you. He calls to each and every one of us, and you should know that voice. Because a good shepherd, it's a two-way. The sheep will know that voice, and when they hear it, they'll move towards it. That's how it's supposed to work. So are you hearing the voice of God in your life? Just move towards it a little bit. He's calling out to you. He wants a deeper connection. He wants a little more good for you. Always for your good. Always for the benefit of the flock and for you individually as the sheep. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to know where everything is. You don't have to be perfect. The shepherd still wants you in the flock. I want to call back to Ezekiel when the prophet was laying out the state of Israel and how the leaders had failed and how the shepherds of Israel, the nation, had failed him. And what is God to do now that his leaders have failed him? I encourage you, on a side note, to read the whole chapter 34 of Ezekiel. It's just an amazing chapter if you read it front to back of that chapter. But in 34:11 says, for thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. Because the leaders had failed here. They weren't doing what they were doing, but God said, I will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. God will search you out. Just because man may have failed Israel, God had not failed Israel. Just because man may fail you at some point, and they will, God won't fail you. And God will search you when you're scattered because of man, because someone let you down, because someone didn't do their job. You're in the place you're in, of no fault of your own, God will still search you out because he will not leave his flock. He will not leave his people. So saint, sinner, child of God, it may be that cloudy and dark day for you now, and you might feel miles and miles from God, from your shepherd, but he's still on those hills calling your name and looking for his sheep. No matter where you are, he's always calling for you to come back to the fold. Come back to his voice. Just move towards his voice so he can see you, so he can get you in a place where he can pull you back in. Sheep, when they're lost, when they're scared all the time, they bleat. Am I right, Stephanie? I told you I'm going to keep using you. Can I use you a little more? What sound does a sheep make? Oh, you don't know. You mean you don't want to? Bah, right? They cry out whenever they're scared or whatever. Bah. Are you not the sheep of God? Let me hear your bahs.
Bah.
Excellent. Come on, all together. Bah. When sheep find themselves away from the shepherd, they bleat because they want to be found. Come on, people. If you're away from God, raise your voice to him. Raise your voice, bleat, right? Cry out as that sheep would. Bah, right? Bah. Just keep crying out to your Savior. Bah. Yahshua, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. Find me where I am, because somehow I have gotten out of where I'm supposed to be. Hear me now, God. Find me. Bring me back to the fold. Take me home, Jesus. Ezekiel 34, again in that same chapter, I will seek that which was lost, and I will bring again that which was driven away, and I will bind up that which is broken, and I will strengthen that which is sick. God will hear your bleat. God will recognize your voice. You are known by him because you are a part of the flock of God. He isn't concerned with why you got lost. He doesn't care why you're on this hill when the flock's down here in the valley eating. He doesn't care why you got injured or why you're not with the fold. He just wants you back home with the fold. He wants you back in the church of God. He wants to bind those wounds, to heal those diseases. Don't run from the voice of God, from the good shepherd, but run towards it. Always move towards it. John 10:7, Jesus therefore said unto them again, verily, verily, anytime he repeats that word, verily, verily, it means pay attention. Hear what I'm saying. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man entered in, he shall be saved. And he shall go in and go out and shall find pasture. The thief, again, he repeats, the thief cometh not, but they may steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that they may have life. Not only have life, but have it more abundantly. Not only does Jesus call himself the good shepherd, but he calls himself the door of the sheepfold. Come on now. So not only is he the one leading you to salvation, but he is the keeper of salvation. He is the door and the shepherd. The only way to salvation is through Jesus. You can't climb over the sheepfold wall and join the flock. It doesn't work that way. You have to go through the door. And Jesus says, I am the door. The only way to salvation is Jesus, because he is the only good shepherd that laid down his life for you. He is both the door of salvation and the shepherd, the keeper of salvation. Stay in the fold. Stay in the flock of God. There's safety here. There's provision here. There's shelter here. There's food here. There's green pastures here. God wants you here. David, who was a shepherd and a king, and penned probably one of the most notable psalms. In Psalms 23, he just simply says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If God is your shepherd, what else could you want? Because everything else is taken care of. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside still waters. God will provide sustenance for you, and he will provide peace in your life. But beyond that, it says, he restoreth my soul and leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God wants to make you whole. Whether you're broken, whether you're scattered, wherever you find yourself, God wants you whole and restored. He doesn't want a sickly flock. He wants a spiritually strong flock, and he'll do what it takes to provide that. and it's for his glory, for his name's sake. Salvation, you know, we worship God, yes, but at the end of the day, it's really all about God. It's about his glory. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even when I'm going through life and I see the wolves, I see what's coming at me, I don't have to fear it. I don't have to fear what will come. But why? For thou art with me, and thy rod, right? The rod was a weapon. It was a defensive weapon. It was to protect the sheep. Thy rod and thy staff, they were a comfort to the sheep. They were a comfort to David because it was a sign of strength and a sign of leading. It kept David in peace knowing that his God was God and that God had good for him and wanted life abundantly for him. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy, and thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. So no matter what comes your way, no matter what wolves are circling the flock, a good shepherd will keep you securely, always. And finally, surely with everything that's happened, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. If goodness, your entire life could follow you, and mercy. So good things will come. God only wants good for you. And even when you mess up, even when you get outside the fold, even if it's not your fault, there's mercy because God just wants you back with the good shepherd. He wants you back in the fold, back in the protection. Saints, I urge you, whatever you do, stay in the fold of God. Stay in the fold under the good shepherd. Join me in prayer. Thank you, God, for being my shepherd, for being the good shepherd, and thank you for searching for me when I strayed. Thank you for binding my wounds when I was hurt and hearing my cry when I cried. God, if there's sheep missing from your fold, Lord, bring them back. Bring them back into the fold that they can be bound and that they can be healed and that disease can be ridden, Lord, so that you can have a full flock. Give us your protection. Lord, you are great, and let your goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So when we started, there was something I didn't tell you. And nobody asked, oddly. Well, I guess Pastor kind of did, but it was opposite direction. He asked, but what animal my wife thought I would be. And I never told you what animal I would be for a day. If I could be a sheep, just for a day, not much glory in being a sheep, but if it could teach me to follow the shepherd, and if it could help me to understand the protection that's in the flock, that's in the sheepfold, and that the blessings and the mercy that flow through there, then let me be a sheep for a day. I won't stop you guys from being an eagle and flying above, but I hope that you see the flock below and you see the sheep always following the good shepherd from pasture to pasture, from goodness to goodness. And I hope you see the mercy that comes when the shepherd leaves everyone that's well and safe and goes after the sheep that's way over by a cliff or way up on a mountain, stuck in a bramble, wounded on the ground, or with wolves circling. I hope you see the mercy that God wants to bring in your life and the goodness that will follow when you're within the fold. Thank you very much. We have just a couple minutes before the